Yes.
All right, perfect. So, yeah, so we're the Space City UAV team at U of H, and so just a little bit more about me. I'm the chief engineer for the UAV team, and for those who don't know, Design Build Fly is the one of the project design competitions hosted by AIAA, and usually the contest takes place in Arizona. And so just a little bit more about the COVID-19 accommodations, because obviously that's one of the most important things this year, is we're having all virtual meetings. And right now we are able to have a little, like very limited lab time with usually groups of less than six people, obviously social distance. So it makes it a little bit harder this year just because you don't get any face-to-face time, and there's not much time for building things in person, but we try to make the best with what we can this year, and we're trying to be very efficient with our building and designing practices so we can do it the best we can through mostly Zoom meetings. And so here's a little bit about our team. This was some pictures from the other year. Or some of these are from 2 years ago. So we are a very diverse team, and we're always excited to teach others, and sometimes not even in the club, about UAVs and planes and remote control planes. And we're always so excited to just share our knowledge with others. And so the Space City UAV team is we're a group of students, and we work on researching, developing, and building unmanned autonomous vehicles, or UAVs. We serve as part of the AIAA at U of H in the student branch, and we're composed and managed entirely by students, and we have a professor to sponsor us. And the Space City UAV was started by a group of students in 2018, and unfortunately, we aren't going to be able to compete this year, but we're looking to compete in 2022. So this year we're going to be doing what I like to call a virtual competition, where we will still design, build, and fly the plane, but we will just fly it at a little field around U of H instead of going to Arizona. So hopefully that goes great this year, so that we are able to prove that we can go to the real competition next year. And so our previous competition vehicle was named Plankton. It was a very lightweight aircraft. Most of it was able to be 3D printed, so we designed it all in SolidWorks, and there wasn't too much hand-on building. We were able to just print it out mostly, on very minimal assembly by hand, which was very good. It was a 5-foot wingspan and only 4.5 feet long. And the only carbon fiber we used was for the tail spar, but the rest was 3D printed out of PLA plastic. I didn't have too much design input on this plane, but I helped build a little bit of it, and it was a great little plane for us. Definitely taught us a lot in the way of how we want to go this year. And so how this year is different for our plane is, traditionally the design build fly is very restrictive on plane designs by the rules. Like, you might have to have it tow something very heavy, or it has to drop things off, or it has to have folding wings and all kinds of moving parts. But this year it's very open-ended, as all it has to do is hold this very light sensor and release it onto a string. So we wanted to use this to our advantage to get as many points as possible in the competition by having just a gigantic flying wing with as many payloads as possible. So that way we are able to, without taking up too much time to tow around a bunch of sensors while we were flying, but we'll be able to get a lot of points compared to some of the other teams' designs. And so our goals for this year is we want to have a very competitive plane, even though we're only doing a mock competition, and our goal is to be able to place in the top five next year. So it would be really great if we can compare our score to the other teams based on how fast we can fly the course and how much payload we can carry in the plane. And hopefully we can place in the top 10 this year and carry that over to the top five next year. And so how we will achieve all of this is, number one, we're going to have a fully modular and swappable avionics module. So with the swappable design, while the design requirements for payload and mission type vary year to year, to save money and time, the plane should use the same battery, motor, and electronic setup while only having to swap out the servos and the wings or body of the aircraft. So with one module or two modules, we should be able to power as many airframes as we want with only minimal expense for the new airframe and possibly a few new servos and landing gear instead of rebuilding the whole plane structure. And with the modular system, we'll be able to just keep reusing the electronics, and it'll really help keep the costs down as we're a very new team, so we don't have the most resources available. And number two is a budget-friendly FPV or first-person view live video feed from the aircraft. So this year, the competition, plane can be hundreds of feet away, and so it can be very difficult to understand the differences in like the heading and attitude of the plane with the naked eye. So a live video feed will allow us to see where the plane is heading from the plane's point of view, almost like a video game or like a recorded video might. So it'll be very easy to see which direction the plane is heading. And the third most important is a very nice telemetry system to assess our plane's performance. And it will be very useful to be able to read the speed, the battery voltages, the temperatures, internal, external pressures, any kind of reading that might be possible from the plane. We'll record all of them. And so during the flight and at the end of the flight, we'll be able to compare all of our different flights together to see which settings work the best for us so that we'll be able to optimize our plane's performance. And so our timeline is very important this year. So we're doing great on time and we're on schedule so far. And our plan's to have a very early rush to complete just as many tasks as we can. So our goal is to have a good month or two before the competition where there is just free time for us to do testing on the plane and mess around with it. So our goal is to have it done about 2 months before competition so that there's no procrastinating and like a huge rush at the end to finish it the day before. And sorry for the wall of text on this slide, but this is our secondary goal. So while this isn't needed for our contest, this would be really important for us after we get the plane finished. And so while our competition plane does not need an autonomous flight mode for the contest, a real UAV system to test with and use will be a great learning tool for the team. And if the contests in the future require an autonomous aircraft to be used, we will be setting ourselves up for success. The technology in an unmanned hobby plane has surpassed an incredible level of effectiveness, all while remaining bargain bin priced. What you can buy now commercially for under $100 matches what might have been tens of thousands of dollars just a decade ago, and what was only available to military and NASA and Raytheon is you can just buy it on Amazon now, which is amazing. And a good flight controller is the heart of that UAV system. And whenever you connect a camera, GPS, and barometer, and any other sensor you might imagine, all you have to do is draw a flight plan on Google Maps on your phone, and you can just send it over Bluetooth to the plane. And if you have it set up right, it can take off, fly by itself, and land by itself without any human interference. And so our little fail-safe for this is, while this is an amazing thought, sometimes a bad waypoint might be entered, which has happened a little bit, or a satellite might be obscured, sending the plane on the wrong path. So all the flight controller models come with a little switch on it. So if you press a button on your controller, it automatically does human override, so you can manually pilot it safely back or resume the correct flight path. And how our team is structured is we have a Dr. G with the AIAA. He's our big boss. And then Harry Epsiloy, he's the wonderful program manager for the UAV team, and he helps us out a lot. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here today, but my project manager, Jordan Palmer, he is the best manager for sure. And then I'm more of the technical guy, the chief engineer. And then we have our three sub-teams under us: the avionics, which is the motors, the structures, which is the frame, and then the software team, which is more of the UAV stuff. And a little bit more about the teams is, the structure sub-team is responsible for the airframe, the structure, and ensuring that the aircraft is strong enough to not break under flight, as our aircraft is going to fly very, very fast, upwards of 80 or 90 miles an hour this year. So anytime you pull a turn, it can put an incredible amount of strain on the wings. And also very important is ensuring that our wing airfoils have enough lift to efficiently move around the payload without creating too much drag. Then our avionics team is very, very important as well. They're responsible for all of the electronic hardware on the aircraft and ensuring that the radio equipment, the servos, the motor, the battery, the speed controllers, everything imaginable all work properly. And then the software team, while they don't have much physical hardware, they just have that one piece of flight controlling technology, they are responsible for all the software that runs the plane. So all of the GPS waypoint tuning and the telemetry and all kinds of fancy video overlays, that's all on them. And so just a little bit of work from our teams is this is some of the work that our structures team did. So on the right is what a computer sees the airfoil as. And this is a bit of work with an open source program called XFLR5 on the left. And what our structures team did is they inputted probably close to 100 airfoils and made huge lists of like how much lift versus drag that they make. And what we did was we found our best airfoil for our needs to be the NACA 4412 airfoil. And what we did with that was we started creating different wings, with the only real limitation being a 5-foot wingspan, and we just went from there. And this was one of our more successful wings on the left. And we found it to be, it could fly very, very quickly while also lifting a lot of weight. And due to how well this works, we might even use it for different years' competitions, even if we don't use it for this year specifically. And this is a little project with mostly the avionics team, with a little bit of help from structures. And these were some of the great mockups we're making right now for creating the perfect payload release mechanism. So how the competition works this year is you have to tow behind a quote sensor behind the plane, which is, from what we can tell, it's just a piece of plastic with some LED lights in it. It's about an inch wide and 4 inches long. And while taking off, the sensors have to be stored in the aircraft. And then after you take off, you have to open up some kind of door or doors mechanism, and you will release the sensors on a string and tow them behind a plane, almost like a flying wrecking ball, for lack of a better description. And so our goal is to have as many of these little wrecking balls as we can without ruining the flight of our aircraft, because they do create a lot of drag and turbulence and all kinds of crazy center of gravity changes. And so on the right is what an example of what our release mechanism might look like. And it's a little bit rough right now, but in the upcoming months, we should have like a working 3D printed prototype, which will be very exciting. And then, while you can't really see what the software team has done, they're responsible for a lot of the GPS coordinates that we're trying to create for our course. And some other stuff about our team. This one was really exciting. This is a newer collaboration. We're collaborating with Dome, which is a Italian group, and they are excited and about space flight. And one of their projects is creating a drone that will be able to fly on the Mars atmosphere, which is very exciting. And so some of the things that we're helping them with and they're helping us with is we're assisting them with the structural analysis of their system and making sure that their drone can withstand some of the harsh winds of the Mars atmosphere. And we're going to receive some very needed help from them on the very complicated GPS navigation systems. A lot of help on the image tracking as well. So, where we'll be able to set up our drone to fly over a field and automatically recognize certain objects in the field, such as you could see how many cars are in a parking lot, or how many cows are in a field, or how many trees are in a field, or just many helpful things that could take a very long time counting by hand, but our drone could do it in just a couple seconds. And we're going to help them creating radio beacons that can be sustained on Mars. And we're going to be co-developing a lot of great new ideas and ways that we can have drones that exist on Earth and on Mars. And I think it'll be very exciting, and we'll definitely post some updates on our Dome collaboration. Oh, wrong slide order, but our software team might not have too much to show physically, but they're integral to our success this year. And after our design competition ends, we still have a few months of school left. So we are going to have our software team create a bunch of GPS courses around Houston and safe to fly airspace. And our goal is to see how far of an endurance we can make our plane do, and if we can make like 3D maps of Houston, and how much of Houston we can make maps of and take pictures of. And it'll be very exciting just to see how far our drone can fly from our school. And that's all I have for my presentation. It's a bit of a shorter one since we're a new project team and I haven't seen the chat, but if anybody has any questions in chat, they can ask them away. And if you're shy, you can also email me at the email below.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll get us started with a question. Again, if you have questions, please feel free to type them in chat. So Andrew, I liked your little GIF that showed your payload release mechanism. And as a longtime engineering lead, I have to ask, did you build that before your analysis? Are you planning to analyze it, or is there some loop of design to analysis to demonstration that is a little different than the traditional.
So because we have many different members working on a few different designs, these are like very, very rough prototypes. So everyone made a different kind of release, and before we do too much of an analysis, we're going to do a study on all of the different types and from all the different research we can find online or in our library. We're going to see what is the most similar to like a real life design. So what we have found is there's some big cargo planes with this dual hinged cargo latch that we have found. And since they have already done a lot of the analysis on it, it'll be a lot easier to carry over. So because we've never done anything like this before, it'll be a lot easier for us to receive help from outside sources this year.
Okay, so you're starting with physical models before you do analysis or design on paper.
Yes, that's what works best for us.
Interesting. So there are some things that require analysis first. What are you guys using as analysis anchors?
I'm confused on the term analysis anchor.
So when you're working with complex configurations and models, oftentimes you actually do start in the computer. So as a result, you end up with something that's analytically demonstrated and perhaps post-processed that would show motion or reactions, and then you build things. So I was curious was whether that was any part of your flow, and if you were doing that, whether you were using some of that information, your analytical data, in order to decide what you were going to build. And so I was just poking at whether you guys were doing anything from a more traditional perspective, from the flow of design to analysis to build, where you anchor your analysis, or perhaps particularly with open source software, sometimes there's a need to figure out whether or not the formulas and algorithms they've put into it are actually applicable to your design. So I was poking at whether you guys are considering that at all.
So a little bit on that is, so how we chose our airfoils is we loaded up just essentially a bunch of Excel files to what the profile of the airfoils might look like, and we just listed down every airfoil that we could find on the NACA list and on a few other websites. And so we took all of the airfoils that I guess we could obtain, and before we started any designs on the wing, we plugged in all the different Reynolds numbers of air and how fast our aircraft needs to fly to complete the competition in time. And we generated a list of airfoils that would work versus would not work in our aircraft. So before we looked at what the wing might even look like, the very first thing we had to do is see what the profile of the airfoil would look like. Because almost all of the airfoils would have failed at higher speeds. They would have not created enough lift for what we needed, but there happened to be the perfect airfoil for us. And so after that, we started generating wings based on our how much weight it needs to carry and the angle of attacks.
Okay, very good. I don't know if there are any other questions, but staying on typed in, I'll ask probably a softball. Who's your biggest competition? And what do you need to beat them?
Well, I would say one of our biggest competitors is MIT is up there, and I know the University of Missouri always places in the very, very top percentage of the competition. And what we would need to beat them is a little bit a little bit better access to certain materials. So our planes are built out of essentially Dollar Tree foam board, and while they have access to very fancy composites. So while our planes might be able to match them and the amount of lift they can make, I don't think we'll ever be as light as the richer teams might be able to have access to. But we're going to compensate with, because we can't have all the fancy materials and we can never be as light as their planes, and ours only costs about $100 versus thousands and thousands, we're just going to make ours as fast as possible and with the most powerful motor that we can possibly fit on it. So our goal is just to, instead of gracefully designing the sleekest plane, we're just going to make the best plane that we can and then make it go as fast as it can without breaking.
Well, outstanding. Congratulations on your presentation, and good luck to you and the team throughout this next year.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'll stop the sharing.
All right. Outstanding. All right.